1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Democrats Kamala Harris and Tim Walz making a campaign stop at the United Auto Workers headquarters outside Detroit today, getting the key endorsement from UAW President Sean Fain.
The UAW family, are you ready to stand up for the Harris-Walz ticket?
The Harris and Trump campaigns having to cancel events in North Carolina today due to Debbie, downgraded now to tropical depression, but still posing a major threat from the Carolinas to the Northeast. GOP nominee Donald Trump telling reporters today he's agreed to debate Harris in September, including a debate on ABC News, one Harris agreed to earlier. New details in last month's assassination attempt of the former president at a rally in Pennsylvania. Butler police releasing body cam video showing a moment when police first confront gunman Thomas Crook, with an officer being lifted onto a rooftop and encountering the shooter and then falling back. That video shows officers taking up heavy arms and racing toward the building. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he'll ask for more money in the next state budget. He told a legislative study committee today the state needs to increase its investment in its public universities if they're going to stay competitive. Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the country in supporting four-year schools. The high cost of living is an issue in the race for president. Vice President Kamala Harris rallied 12,000 supporters in Eau Claire yesterday.
I will take on big corporations that engage in illegal price gouging.
Republican running mate J.D. Vance is speaking to reporters everywhere Harris stumps this week.
The most consistent complaint that I hear is that it is harder and harder for normal people to get by.
Harris is introducing her running mate, Tim Walz, to swing state voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Nina man pleads no contest to four counts of homicide by intoxicated use of a motor vehicle and fifth offense, OWI, for the December 16th crash in Wyawega that killed four siblings. 48-year-old Scott Farmer will be sentenced on November 22nd. Currently, Oshkosh residents pay $15 a year for recreational burning permits. Oshkosh Fire Chief Mike Stanley says they're necessary for education and safety.
I think it's still necessary. That we very deliberately put it in place for a reason, that it is a tool utilized by many others in the region, the state, and nationwide for as a risk reduction tool. And you're exactly right. It is an opportunity for us to educate the public, and also gives us an enforcement piece.
The Oshkosh Common Council will vote on whether or not to remove the requirement for recreational burning permits at its meeting Wednesday, August 14th at 6 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Packers' defense improves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL training camp week 3, and one player who stands out is pass rusher Rashawn Gary. Off the edge in the new 4-3 defense, in the backfield disrupting the offense. Rashawn, on how the defense is looking so far in camp.
I feel like just us as a defense, on just how physical, aggressive everybody is and how we're all on one page.
Now the Packers travel to Cleveland Saturday for their first preseason game. They've also added another place kicker, Alex Hale out of Oklahoma State, and former Dallas Cowboys defensive end Zach Morton. Baseball, Pat Murphy in a great mood after his Brewers beat the Braves in a back-and-forth game. 8-5 win last night in Atlanta. The Brewers manager talking about veteran catcher Gary Sanchez as a clutch hitter.
Yeah, he's a professional hitter, man, and he loves baseball. That's what I love about Gary, to have an older guy who loves baseball. I do an imitation of him right now, but I'll save it. I don't need to dominate this with humor.
Gary loves baseball.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cool and mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, cool for August, highs upper 60s. Beautiful weekend ahead, sunshine and a high in the low 70s Saturday and upper 70s Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, a few clouds and a slight chance of rain. Right now, it's 76.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt in Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Are you seeking an amazing atmosphere where you can enjoy well-execute comfort food for lunch or dinner? Maybe even a cold craft beer, signature cocktail, or glass of wine after a hard day's work? Look no further than Heights Pub and Parlor in downtown Green Bay. Three levels of gorgeous architecture with top-notch friendly service, mouth-watering food, and a kitchen open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 9. You'll find any excuse to come back. Visit weekdays from 11 to 10 and open till 11 Fridays and Saturdays. Check us out on Facebook or online at heightsgb.com.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Nikki Zirjav co-hosts the show with me on Friday. Our guests include Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine and live music with Matt Hafel. Help us kick off the weekend.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, a happier, happy hour. And the returning champion, he's the Marquette University Law School pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin. Feels like we just saw you yesterday, Charles, but you've been busy working, my friend.
Deja vu all over again.
You know,
2 days, two different polls.
I barely saw you yesterday. I got to admit, I was quite distracted by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz showing up outside my hotel with their motorcade last night, but... Yesterday, Marquette polling, just a little refresher, new numbers out, top of the ticket. It's a dead heat, depending on registered or likely voters, right?
Yes. And the way to think of it is back to being a dead heat. It's 50-49 for Trump with registered voters, but it's 50-49 for Harris with likely voters. Harris leads by two if you throw in the third party candidates. So in Wisconsin, we're seeing that very close race. In comparison, we did ask people if Biden had stayed in the race, how would you have voted? Biden trailed by five there. So Harris is doing noticeably better than Biden is at this point. Clearly a step up for Democrats, but it just brings the race back to this nail biter close thing here in Wisconsin that we saw during the spring as well.
But Charles, you did national polling, not just Wisconsin-centric polling. That's what dropped today. And I found the polling stunning. We see a much bigger gap, a much bigger turn towards Harris on the national side. And I've seen this graphic on Fox News. They're quoting your polling today, Charles. I think they're stunned. Tell us about the national polling.
Yeah, and you know how you spin this is part of the game, I guess. What we see, though, is Harris up by 4 points nationally with registered voters, 52 to 48. When you move to likely voters, she goes up 1 point, but Trump goes down 1 point. So it's a 6 point race there, 53 to 47. But when you throw in the third party candidates, she does a little better with the third party candidates. She leads by six instead of four among registered voters, and she leads by eight instead of six among likely voters. So I've seen a lot of coverage focusing on the 8 point lead, and that's one of our numbers. That's totally fair. But I think it'd be good for everybody to look at this as sort of a range from a 4-point lead to as much as an 8-point lead, depending on whether it's head-to-head or includes third parties, and whether it's registered voters or likely voters.
But that's starting to squeeze beyond the margin of error, and that's certainly different than it was even 2 or 3 weeks ago, Charles, when Biden was the candidate. These polls were quite different, were they not, sir?
They were very different. In May, which was our last national poll, we had the race tied at 50-50 with registered, and we had Biden up by 2 with likely voters. So she's doing a bit better, 4 points better on the margin with registered, and she's doing also 4 to 6 points better with likely voters than Biden was doing back in May.
Now, Charles Franklin, our fine guest pollster from the Marquette University Law School poll, they've got new national polling out today. And Charles, we have seen candidates like Tammy Baldwin here in the state of Wisconsin exceeding the numbers of Joe Biden and now Kamala Harris even. You did some polling generically on the congressional races nationally, and we've got our eye on a few. We just had Rebecca Cook, one of the primary opponents, in the third. We'd like to think that's a competitive race. We think Peter Barca in the first and Brian Stiles could be a very competitive race, and we're watching the eighth with Kristen Lierley and whoever comes out on the Republican side. But nationally, how is the opinion of the voters right now in the congressional races?
Yeah, that's +4 Democrat, 52 to 48. Again, that's a little bit of a movement, a couple of points movement towards the Democrats. It was tied in May again nationally. So going from a tie to a 4-point Democratic lead, that one is certainly inside the margin of error. And that is the generic congressional ballot asking if in the election, who would you vote for Congress, the Democratic or the Republican candidate? But it does, as does the presidential race, show a little bit of a tilt in the Democratic direction. I think the thing underlying this is the really substantial increase in excitement among Democrats. In the national poll, we're seeing about a 20-point upturn among Democrats in how, when they say how they're enthusiastic to vote this fall. That had been a Republican advantage all year long, and it, if anything, fell even further during the period after the debate and before Biden dropped out. Now, Democrats are fully competitive with Republicans in enthusiasm, and that may also be boosting Harris's vote right now just a little bit. More Democrats, more enthusiastic, more of them saying they're certain they're going to vote.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest. He is Charles Franklin, pollster from Marquette University Law School polling. New national polling out today. Charles, I've been comparing tan lines with a few friends that were also at the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz rally in, I almost said Minneapolis. It was in Eau Claire yesterday, but the sun was shining bright. We all got cooked up and we're wearing it like a badge of honor. That's my show of enthusiasm. I look like Rudolph here. But let me ask you, have we seen the Walz effect yet? The Tim Walz effect, Governor Tim Walz from Minnesota. I mean, this polling had a start before he was rolled out as the candidate. Could we expect to see a further bump with Walz candidacy?
Yeah, and we were finished before he was picked. So we don't have any data on him. There's been a few polls before he was picked. It shows, like the other people we're talked about for VP, well over 50% don't know enough about him to have an opinion. So how he gets defined over the next couple of weeks going into the Democratic convention and how he's defined at the Democratic convention, I think will be a big thing. But I don't think there's any polling at this point that can help us understand what that image is going to be or what effect he may have on the ticket. Too soon to tell on that.
Charles, you have polled the Democratic Party's sort of affection for Kamala Harris, and are they satisfied now that Biden stepped aside and she's the top of the ticket? Mostly pretty damn satisfied, are they not, Charles?
Oh, overwhelmingly. If Democrats have been the party of disarray, I think they're now the party of array. 89% say they're either very satisfied or satisfied with her as the pick. In Wisconsin, it was 92%. So very big, whether it's state or national results, that the party really did unify around her very rapidly. Also, her favorability rating really jumped up in the national polling, going from 35% in the past to 47% now. So that is really the other payoff of the switch from Biden to Harris, is people who had a kind of pretty negative view of her, matching Joe Biden's, the negative view they had of Biden, have really taken that second look and now boosted her quite a lot. She is in the national poll 3 points more unfavorable than favorable, 47 to 50. But Trump is 8 points more unfavorable than favorable, 45 to 53. Biden, on the other hand, is minus 17 in favorability. So again, a big move to see Harris much more favorably than people saw Biden, and at the moment to see her a little more favorably than they see Trump.
Charles Franklin, how do people think that Joe Biden should proceed? You polled on the question, should he resign the presidency? What was people's opinion?
Yeah, and 56% say he should not resign. Just 31% say he should. The rest, about 13%, say they don't know. This was something that was a Republican talking point right after he withdrew. It hasn't gotten a lot of traction with the public at large, though certainly Republicans are more likely to say he should resign.
Charles Franklin, our fine guest for a few more minutes. Something surprising in the polling. Trump's favorability rating is significantly up as well, or at least I perceive it as a significant improvement through the course of polling. Since the RNC, since the assassination attempt, this is statistically some of the most favorable views people have ever had of Donald Trump, is it not?
Well, yes, and he did go up about 3 or so points in favorability after the convention in this new poll, which is after the convention. And his job approval as president went up just a smidgen. I think, though, that the bounce from the convention might have been higher if it hadn't been completely overwhelmed by the news of Biden withdrawing and the focus on Harris for the last couple of weeks. But I do think that people should be aware that Trump was as far down on favorability as negative 36% more unfavorable than favorable back towards the end of 2022. He has slowly but steadily improved that to the point where he's now at a negative 8. So, and that's not an outlier. That's consistent over all of the polling that steady shift has been taking place. So people should not think that he's terribly unpopular. He's improved a lot over this last year and a half or 2 years.
Let's talk about J.D. Vance, the new VP choice of the Republicans. While there's time, Charles, last minute, what do people think of J.D. Vance?
Basically the same net favorability as they have towards Trump, but a whole lot more don't have an opinion of him. 23% don't have an opinion. Among Republicans, though, 75% are call him either an excellent or a good choice for vice president. So again, within the party, they're fairly unified about him. But outside the party, people are much more skeptical, including independents who are skeptical of him.
I'm not sure if he helped their ticket. And we'll find out about Tim Walz, but Charles Franklin, always appreciate when you make time for us. And new polling coming out tomorrow, Charles, Supreme Court polling.
Supreme Court polling, how do we feel about the big cases that were decided this year? I can confidently predict that'll get less attention than the one today and yesterday.
Perhaps. Charles, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming around last couple days.
Thank you.
More Devils on the other side.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. Another fine guest, got to thank him. Charles Franklin, last couple days. Wednesday, New Marquette University Law School polling in Wisconsin shows it's a very tight race. But the national polling that dropped today and had the jaws dropping on Fox News, Marquette poll shows Kamala Harris is starting to whoop Trump's ass head-to-head. And when you throw in the third parties, she's got as much as an 8-point lead with likely voters. That is a stunning reversal in the polling. I'm just saying. Don't see that much. I did see what is my new favorite license plate this morning. I pulled off the interstate. I was coming back from Eau Claire. And I see this car, and I'm like, does that say what I think it says? So I followed this guy into a McDonald's, and I purposefully drove around the building just so I could take a picture of his license plate. And if you've never liked us or followed us at the Devil's Advocates Radio on Facebook, maybe you should do so, because there's some fine stuff up there. I put up some rally photos from yesterday, and I put up this guy's license plate. And first and foremost, he's a engineer local 139 member, union guy, shout out. And it's a Wisconsin plate, and it's yellow and it's black. And it says, IH8GOP. I hate the GOP. It's pretty obvious. I try to jam one. I do have personalized plates. Mine are two devils. But I try to put something like that on when Scott Walker was the governor. And I can tell you, they did not accept me down at the DOT. But I admire this guy. I hate the GOP. And he's got his Wisconsin operating engineers. And he's renewed for 2025. So well done, sir. Got himself a Big Mac or something this morning in Black River Falls. My new license plate. New favorite, anyways. I did see a guy, and I love it when we get to meet people from the audience. If you'll recall, Chris from Rice Lake, shout out Chris. I had plans last night to go out with Chris. And I will tell you, Rich, as long a day as yesterday became, with a few shenanigans with the tech and a few things going wrong, and then the Secret Service showed up right outside our hotel, I was dying to figure out, where did I tell Chris I was going to meet him at? Because it had been like 3 days since I read his message. Hey, man. And what he had messaged me is, I'll meet you at the wigwam. The wigwam. That's what I couldn't remember last night. And I even texted, like on our text line, I put the text, Chris from Rice Lake. And I thought I was searching, so I couldn't find this thing.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this poor bastard's drinking alone. And I've left him. I don't like not, you know, doing what I say I'm going to do. So Chris showed up at the Oxbell, and I happened to be in the lobby bar / restaurant, and they were doing an open mic night last night, and people playing guitar and all kinds of stuff. And I see this guy wearing a green shirt come through, sort of a buzz cut kind of guy, tall, skinny. And apparently it was Chris looking for yours truly, because I had stiffed him, right? And he kind of had with a, he later admitted to me, kind of came over a little miffed, because he had warned him at the wigwam, like, well, if Crudy shows up, there might be others that come to the wigwam. And I don't know if anyone came looking for me at the wigwam last night, but I could tell I kind of let Chris down, you know, like he was going to introduce his radio buddy around at the wigwam, and I couldn't for the life of me remember what I had promised to meet this guy at. So luckily, Chris came down to where we were, and I bought him one, and, you know, they didn't have my favored rum, so I had a drink off menu, but I had a very expensive Cosmo on our friend Chris from Rice Lake. Thank you, Chris. And he stuck around for probably an hour or more, got to know him better. Real nice guy, postal guy, works at the post office. Postal has come to be in a different day and through the years. He seemed quite reasonable, pragmatic even. But Chris said he's known us back since the Milwaukee days. I'm thinking, man, it's always great to meet a guy who doesn't think you're a bad guy and then introduce him to your wife. Hey, tell him I'm not a bad guy, hon. Tell him, Chris, tell her. So anyways, he said mostly good things, except the whole stiffing him at the wigwam. Seemed a little miffed about that. Sorry, man. Next time I'll remember, because now I got wigwam stuck in my head. Cool guy, though. Nice to meet you, Chris. And you can meet me right here on the radio dial at 844-967-2789. And the great news, it's a phone number, but it's also a text line. I know many of you have been texting in, including Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I see you often, Tyler. I know you're a relatively clever guy. Breaking news in a 6-4 decision, and I knew it was a little off. I knew Tyler was pulling my leg, if you will, because there's 9 Supreme Court justices. In a 6-4 decision, the United States Supreme Court has ruled that furniture is people. I think he's talking to you, J.D. Vance. Tom from New Berlin, as I pointed out, Wisco Paul trashed me at the Barrymore Theater event, pre-trashed me to his daughter, said nice things about Dom. Oh, he's so handsome. He's like a handsome leprechaun. He's a midget. Come on, you can't be 5'6" and handsome. Not Chippendale's handsome. They have standards. So I wouldn't pick on Dom in his absence, but, you know, Paulie evoked him. And then he told his, well, I guess he called up on the radio and he claims Mrs. Wisco had told their daughter who attended the show that night, and Crudy looks like the guy who collects the tickets out front of the Chippendales dancer show. I did have to DJ one in college, and those women were ready to kill me because I didn't do very well. Forget what the point was. Wasn't a good one, apparently. Tom from New Berlin said, Crudy, you look dashing at the debate at the Barrymore. Maybe it was a long way to go for that. Also, I understand Wisconsin Teamsters support Rebecca Cook. She was a earlier guest. What else we got? Oh, yeah. Here's Chris from Rice Lake. Crudy, thanks for taking time to visit. I hope I didn't cause any waves between you and Mrs. Crudy. No. No, you didn't cause them. I like to keep, you know, that boat a rocket. Always got to have some waves on my lake. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Make some waves. Call us. 844-967-2789. A Wednesday happier happy hour. And we finally got some negative on Governor Tim Walz. We'll tell you about his military record and see if it should matter to you.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
The numbers say Kamala Harris is giving the Democratic presidential campaign a boost in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette poll says Donald Trump would be beating President Biden by 5 points if he'd stayed in the race. Instead, it's a virtual tie.
Harris, by replacing Biden, has really made up this deficit that had been created with Biden.
Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says Senator Tammy Baldwin is leading Eric Hovde 53-46. The man accused in a shocking murder in Milwaukee last spring had plans to commit the crime weeks ahead of time. That's according to court records that say Maxwell Anderson told an informant he hatched his plan in early March. Sharday Robinson disappeared in early April, her dismembered remains turned up throughout the Milwaukee area. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The NTSB has released its preliminary report on the deadly plane crash of a Landcare ES in a farmer's field about a mile and a half from the runway at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. Two people were killed when that plane crashed, 37-year-old Sean Tomervik of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and 32-year-old James Sullivan of Brooklyn, New York. They were heading to EAA from New Jersey. The preliminary report does not state the cause of the crash, which is still under investigation. Green Bay police are investigating a shooting Wednesday afternoon that left one person with serious injuries. Officers were called for a 21-year-old man who had been shot and dropped off at the hospital. Police don't know where the shooting happened. People with information are urged to call the Green Bay police at 920-448-3200. Reference case number 24240877. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Well, it's not a powerhouse in college sports, but Florida International Stadium will have one of the coolest names in college football. Armando Christian Perez, also known as Pitbull, has purchased naming rights for the school stadium. The creator of hits such as Give Me Everything and Timber paid $6 million for the rights to have the stadium bear his name over 5 years. The entrepreneur and philanthropist who did not attend college himself says he purchased the rights to inspire the community and create opportunities. Pitbull probably could have adopted a highway for far less cash. Theater fans are giving their regards to Broadway. Deadline reports that Broadway is having a stellar year with hits like Oh Mary and The Outsiders. The former is a comedy about Mary Todd Lincoln. The show has been pulling in $1 million a week since mid-July. And The Outsiders, a musical based on S.E. Hinton's book from 1967, is setting attendance records. In its 11th week of the current season, Broadway has taken in almost $370 million. That's the kind of money that makes you want to sing and dance. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cool and mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, cool for August, highs upper 60s. Beautiful weekend ahead, sunshine and a high in the low 70s Saturday and upper 70s Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, a few clouds and a slight chance of rain. Currently at 75 degrees.
Save big at Menards with the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of boards, decking, and fencing is easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on all lumber at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Nepo Baby adjacent Lara Trump shares her thoughts on Kamala Harris's qualifications to be president. Oh, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. rolling through it. Always happier when you join 844-967-2789. I saw this on the text line about an hour ago. I hope the texter from WAUK who texted in, "Hey fellas, longtime listener, love the show." Well, you have excellent taste. WTF are the righty whitey talk radio MAGAs talking about with Tim Walz's military record? Well, your crazy cousin, your Uncle MAGA, all those people are going to start crapping on this guy, right? Because they think they see a chink in his armor. And in fact, J.D. Vance started the cavalcade of trash talking about Tim Walz's military record. So I'm going to share a little bit so you are informed and you can make your own opinions. Donald Trump's running mate, I reference CNN here. Donald Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, stepped up his attacks on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's portrayal of his military career, accusing him of ducking service in Iraq when he left the Army National Guard and ran for Congress in 2005. Now, Vance also accused Walz of falsely claiming he had served in a combat zone while the Democratic vice presidential nominee was in the Army National Guard. And while Walz retired 2 months before his unit received alert orders to deploy to Iraq, the attack on Walz's military record are part of the race from both parties to define the relatively unknown governor after he was tapped Tuesday as VP Kamala Harris's running mate. That was this Tuesday. Today is Thursday. That was 2 days ago. Well, hurry up and define him, right? Walz's 24-year military service is one of several facets of his background that appeal to voters that the Harris campaign is trying to reach with his selection, and that Republicans are trying to blunt by painting him as an out-of-touch liberal. Walz and Vance, the two VP candidates, are both military veterans, unlike their running mates. And Walz served in the Army National Guard for 24 years before retiring in 2005. Now, we played a lot of his speech the other day when they rolled him out in Philadelphia. I was in Eau Claire yesterday. I heard him again talk about his military record, Walz. Now, he retired in 2005. He launched a campaign for Congress in Minnesota's 1st Congressional District that year and was elected in November of 2006. At a campaign stop in Michigan on Wednesday, Vance accused Walz of abandoning his unit before it deployed to Iraq in 2006. Now, here's a quote from, you know, the couch lover, allegedly. "When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the army and allowed his unit to go without him." Now, let's see if we can get some facts here. Walz filed paperwork with the Federal Elections Commission as a candidate for Congress on February 10, 2005. It was the next month after the Guard announced a possible deployment to Iraq within 2 years. Walz's campaign issued a statement saying he intended to stay in the race. "I do not yet know if my artillery unit will be part of this mobilization, and I am unable to comment further on specifics of the deployment. That's what Walz said in March of 2005. "As Command Sergeant Major, I have a responsibility not only to ready my battalion for Iraq, but also to serve if called on. I am dedicated to serving my country to the best of my ability, whether that is in D.C. or in Iraq. I don't want to speculate on what shape my campaign will take if I'm deployed, but I have no plans to drop out of the race. I am fortunate to have a strong group of enthusiastic supporters and a very dedicated and intelligent wife. Both will be a major part of my campaign, whether I am in Minnesota or Iraq." So, guy's getting ready to run for Congress. He retires after 24 years from the National Guard, because that's a big commitment. A lot of weekends, a couple weeks in the summer, don't have time to do both. And then it becomes apparent his Guard unit could get called up. And he does not, what? Go with them. So, here is more from CNN. Walls retired from the Army National Guard in May of 05, according to the Minnesota National Guard. In a 2009 interview for the Library of Congress, Walls said he left the Guard to focus full-time on running for Congress, citing concerns with trying to serve at the same time, and the Hatch Act, which limits political activities for federal employees. Now, service members often submit their paperwork for retirement months before their retirement date. It's unclear when Walz submitted his papers for retirement. The Harris campaign didn't respond to this article. Here are a couple of things I've heard, just so you know. What's out there? What's Foxy News saying? They're saying three things. One, he abandoned his unit. I don't think that's an accurate portrayal. Two, they're saying that Tim Walz stole valor, claimed he served in, I forget what it was called, Operation Desert Storm, but didn't serve in the theater of war. And at one time, I believe in 2018, during the course of a speech talking about weapons of war, said effectively, you know, I was in a war with weapons of war, and we don't need these on the streets. We don't need these in the classroom. Well, technically, he was never in a theater of war, although he trained, apparently, troops to go do that. Finally, my understanding is there is an issue about how he represented his final rank in the National Guard. His final rank was apparently one rank below what he had claimed on his resume. So, Command Sergeant Major, and he was Staff Sergeant Major, or whatever the case may be. He is the highest ranking enlisted man ever to rise to a position of this sort. In the U.S. Congress, he was the highest ranking enlisted man ever to serve in the U.S. Congress. But whatever rank it is he represented himself to be upon retirement, E9, E10, whatever that was, he was technically one rank below that. Now, I have the opposite thing. I retired as a E3, and somewhere they promoted me to an E4. So technically, I'm specialist scrutiny. I'm very special. You can tell. 844-967-2789. So, did he serve in a theater of war? No. Did he leave a false implication? Did he steal valor? Only in that he held up a sign that said, I'm a veteran of Operation Desert Storm, or whatever the case may be, implying, perhaps, if you read it as such, that he was deployed and he was not deployed. And I cannot tell you why there is some incongruence in what he represented his retirement rank to be. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Maybe he was promised a bump upon retirement, meaning that they would give him a higher retirement benefit based upon a higher retirement grade. And usually it's enlisted. It's a numerical number. And there's a corresponding pay grade that you get based on that rank. I don't know. That part is not yet been clarified to my satisfaction. But they're definitely talking about it, meaning that Walls is on the campaign stumping as a military veteran, makes it integral to what he describes. And I can tell you, for those that have served, and I absolutely could not steal any valor because there was nothing valetorious about my service. I just did training. I joined in a time of war, but I never got sent to a foreign theater. So I've never claimed to be a veteran of a foreign war. Hell, when people stand up in the movie theater or whatever, Independence Day, hey, got any veterans here in the crowd? I don't usually even stand up unless my wife nudges me three times because I don't see it as being the same thing. So I can understand if there's some question about whether or not this guy, you know, those that served in his unit, they certainly have the right to question it. And I hate to say this, but J.D. Vance, if he is a veteran, a Marine veteran that served in a foreign theater during time of war, probably has got a little more to say about it than the average Joe on the street. So I hate to tell you that this criticism coming from Vance probably has some credibility, at least for some veterans. But whether or not it's a big deal, don't know yet. Don't know. But everybody's got something, and this might be Tim Vance's chink in the armor. Tim Walz, my bad. J.D. Vance has got lots of chinks in his armor and a few in the couch cushions. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, how you doing, fella?
I'm so sick of these people. Seriously. They did the same thing with John Kerry and the Slipboat thing. This is, they have nothing new.
But you don't know that this is the same circumstance. John Kerry was
from what I know, is anybody that goes into the military is considered a veteran, aren't they?
Well, you're a veteran, but veterans of foreign wars is a different, bigger deal. You know, VFW.
I don't believe a single word that comes out of JD Weirdo's mouth, who tells a 7-year-old to shut the hell up, who apparently has funds with couches. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of all of their stuff that they try to get people on. I want to talk about policies.
Buddy, you're talking about, let me stop you here for a second, Tom. You are playing the game too, man, because you're talking about J.D. Vance on the couch, and we all know that that probably didn't happen, but it's still fun to talk about, right? Well, how can you?
I don't know. I mean, he wrote about it in a book.
Okay, but if Tim Walz indeed has been less than fully transparent about his military record, that could be part of his history as well, dude. I mean, politicians sort of.
I think Tim Walz is a pretty open book. And I don't think that you're going to have someone that's going to be doing Oppo research and all this stuff on these different candidates and find something like this because they know what the Republicans are going to go after. I mean, we got a guy that's a 34 felony indicted guy, and we're talking about, I just can't. I'll be honest, I can't. I'd rather talk about health care. I'd rather talk about a woman's right to choose. I'd rather talk about money in politics. I'd rather talk about all the different things rather than all of these shiny little things that they always come up with that they think is, I just find them disgusting. They don't talk anything about Social Security or Medicare or anything like that. All they talk about is tax cuts for billionaires. That's their whole shtick.
Well, Tom, you're not wrong about that. It is their campaign's job to find the faults in Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, for that matter, and then make them stick, right? Diminish your opponent. Just like we're diminishing J.D. Vance, just like we diminished Donald Trump. It's their job, yes, individually, to talk about policies. I mean, I heard Tim Walz talking about policies he believes in. We should, and there's a op-ed at the Washington Post today, saying we should follow the policies of the great state of Minnesota that Tim Walz rolled out. His actually policy choices are physically prudent, they're family-friendly, and they've served the state of Minnesota well. But John Kerry was a war hero that was completely miscast and swift-boated, right? The guy's career record was completely misconstrued in the press. And I'm not clear that that is what has happened to Tim Walz. Yet. We'll see what happens from here. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think Trump was so far from wrong when he said, people don't vote for the vice president. You're voting for me. I don't need to like you, but I need your vote. Trump said something like that as well. So, am I going to vote for J.D. Vance because he's a war hero? Hell to the no. And would I refuse to vote for Tim Walz because he failed to serve in a foreign theater? No. He signed up 24 years, man. Anytime up till then, they could have shipped his ass off and he would not have had a say. So, you know, circumstance of when the war start or end, you can't blame that on the individual soldier. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about the money myth that buying fancy coffees is what's keeping you from being rich. Everything that I know about money and happiness tells me the exact opposite. Treating yourself to a moment of happiness, like a latte, or for me, it's buying one of those little fancy yogurts at the grocery store that come in those cute little ceramic containers, that's probably not keeping you from reaching your money goals. If it feels like you're not where you want to be with your money, take a hard look at your finances and make a budget that you know you're going to stick to. In your budget, you get to choose the places to cut back on spending. You get to decide if that latte or that fancy yogurt is worth the cost. And sometimes for me, it really is. Okay, folks, that was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Olympics are underway in Paris, and did you know the Badger State is well represented? 18 athletes on Team USA call Wisconsin home. There are two from the northwestern part of the state, Kenny Benarek, a runner from Rice Lake, and weightlifter Mary Tyson Lappin from Eau Claire. Two from northeast Wisconsin qualified. Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh and plays basketball, and Madeline Watermaker is a rower from Neenah. 14 are from the south central and southeast area, ranging from Margarita Vincenti, competing in fencing. She's from Hartford. Palin Jacobson from Elkhorn is a wrestler. Marie Laborde qualified for judo and is from Kenosha. Then we have Lauren O'Connor from Belleville, Sophia Vidas from Franklin, and Nick Rusher from West Bend. They're all competing in rowing. The Olympic Games continue through August 11th. Go team! Until next time, I'm Terry Baugh.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The text line lighting up. Apparently, Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman, has been out there publicly defending Tim Walz and his record. And some of you are doing so as well. Folks, I can only report what's in front of me. And obviously, it's a three-hour show, man. I can't put out every detail of every person that's offered an opinion on this up until now. But you can offer yours, 844-967-2789. Going to the phones, Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Crudy, I would be really hesitant to describe Mr. Vance as a war hero, particularly because he doesn't describe himself that way.
I called John Kerry a war hero, and if I said J.D. Vance was a war hero, I may have misspoke. But he did serve in a theater overseas, which, for those of us that are in the military, I draw a distinction. You serve stateside, or you know, I had a buddy who went to Germany. That ain't the same as being in Iraq or Afghanistan. I got friends that got shipped, and they served their time in the desert. That, to me, means more than me sitting at the NCO club drinking beer in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, one could also argue, I've got a dear friend who was in the Army and went through terrible times in Vietnam and was talking just yesterday about the fact that there's a huge difference between those people who are actually seeing combat and those people in a theater who don't see any bullets at all. And Mr. Vance said about his time, he was there for 6 months as a military journalist, and he said, "I was lucky to escape any real fighting." And he said that in his 2016 memoir. So I would, you know, they're serving overseas and they're serving while the bullets are flying. Two very different things. And I don't think you can describe it as heroic merely because you're serving in the theater if you're not dodging bullets. Frankly, I just don't think you can. Because you can be a stevedore, you can be driving a truck, you can be, you know, preparing food. All of those are very important to the war effort, but they are not heroic. I wouldn't put it as heroic. And I wanted to make one last point, Crudy,
sure.
I know your time's short here, but the other point that I wanted to make had to do with Vote Vets, a longtime veteran organization, says about Mr. Walz. The first comment is that he knew he was going to deploy to Iraq, and he retired before that time. They say that he submitted his retirement request to the Army National Guard months before notification of the deployment. And there's there's a difference, and I'm sure you know this, there's our, you know, a thought we may be deployed, and then there is official deployment, which could change between that time before you get official deployment. And then it's months before you deploy, and at least it was for his circumstance. And the other part is where they say he used a rank that he hadn't attained, and that's stolen valor. The Minnesota National Guard says, they say that is not accurate. They say the Minnesota National Guard, the unit that the organization that he worked for, says it's entirely accurate to describe him as having been a command sergeant major, the rank under which he served, and they emphasize this in public statements. He can be referred to as such. So I'm going to take the word of the Minnesota National Guard before I'm going to take the word of J.D. Vance. Sorry, that's how I feel. And he's no war hero. Yes, he served, and that's commendable, but that's not the same as being a war hero. Thanks, Crudy. Really appreciate everything.
Thanks, Joe. I don't disagree. Going is not the same as being a war hero. I did not go, nor was I a war hero, but I do give deference to those that served overseas. You know, when you sign up, you can't always pick. And Joe, talking about changing orders, the Friday before I graduated from AIT, Advanced Individual Training, where you learn your job in the military. First, you go to basic training, then you get taught your specialty. Well, I was a combat medic, and I was learning how to go to a theater of war in 1990. And all the people that graduated on Friday got sent to a theater of war. They got sent to Iraq en masse. Always need more combat medics. Tuesday of the week I graduated, which would have been the following Friday, orders changed. And my orders were to go serve wherever my unit was. And I was a National Guard, I was a reservist, U.S. Army reservist, attached to Sparta, Wisconsin, which is an NCO training academy. All they were doing was sitting out at Fort McCoy in Sparta. So I didn't go. But people that graduated on the same day as me, if their unit was in Iraq, they went to Iraq. It changes really quickly. But I've never tried to claim any sort of valor. There was none to be claimed. Mostly empty beer cans. 844-967-2789. Jake from Stoughton, you get the last word today, Jake.
Yeah, I just want to echo what the previous caller said. I read the same newspaper article online today that confirmed the commander of the Minnesota National Guard said it was entirely appropriate to call him Master Command Sergeant, or Command Master Sergeant, excuse me, and that he resigned basically to run for governor months before that unit was ever deployed.
Jake, I think he ran for Congress. Want to make sure we get the facts out there, but thank you for helping to correct or clarify, because this issue, we ain't done with it, folks. We'll be ranting about it on Friday when we air the grievances up in here. Thank you to my fine guest on this Thursday afternoon, Rebecca Cook, a fine candidate for the third CD. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. Two no's on the constitutional amendments. And also, Charles Franklin, New Market University Law School national polling that shows Kamala Harris starting to pull away from Donald Trump. Here in Wisconsin, very close. Like a coin flip. Rich and I will be doing this again for your listening pleasure and informing you, I hope, maybe try to inform you. I cannot read every article every day and put them all out there at once. I do my best. That's why you listen. Trying to be reasonable, trying to get all points of view out there. But this is the new attack on Tim Walz. I just thought you should know it's out there. Do your own research. It's worth the Google. Thanks, Rich. Have a great night, everyone. See you on Friday.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the punk band Radio for Pets, who will blow the roof off the joint live in the studio, and Milwaukee-based actress and comedian Alicia Alstetter.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local civic media radio station and streaming on the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.